Blog Talk Radio. Jack Jodell of Saturday Afternoon Post, and myself, Gwendolyn Berry from Roundtree7S, the number 7.com. This is the Sunday show on Hear Me Monster. Welcome to it. Be right with you. As a matter of fact, right now, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jack, how you doing?
Very good, Gwen. Hope you're doing well, too, and happy Thanksgiving weekend to all our listeners out there. Anybody in the chat room, if there's anybody there and stuff, we're very grateful that we had a great Thanksgiving dinner, and we hope all of you were able to join us in that fest this week.
It was a nice week.
Nothing
fell on its ass nationally. There was still a lot of death out there, but we did get a ceasefire in Israel, didn't we?
That was something to be grateful for. And let's see how long it holds. Let's hope it does. And things are cooking again in Egypt. I saw that the judges over there are greatly opposed to President Morsi's grabbing of power the way he did, and they're opposing it, and they're calling for a strike. That's amazing for the Egyptian judges to do that.
Well, you know, it's still a global revolution, and as if to say that that's pretty true, I would tip my hat to Janelle Green, who's in the chat room, and she's one of the biggest rebels I know in the social networks. So
great.
Thankful for Janelle posting all the stuff she does. We're doing the gratitude today, aren't we?
Yeah, that's great.
I think global revolution is still going on. Folks like to say that Anon, and look what Anonymous has done in New York for all of the victims of Sandy.
Oh,
I mean,
incredible.
They marshaled their resources. They got people up and off their asses and out into the streets, and they got the money through Twitter, Facebook, the same way that they brought people down to Zuccotti Park. So,
right.
I mean, you know, rawr, let's go.
You know, they have demonstrated more than anybody power of and to the people.
Well, yeah, really, they have. It's. Mm-hmm. I think folks like to make it a small, you know, owls and occupy. And let's remember, not every occupy group is of the same character or caliber as all of them are. I mean, there's occupy groups that are dense, and what the hell is going on there? I would mention Oakland to you there on that one because we know. We know from Oso that that's just become a very confused thing, but there is Decolonize Oakland, and
right.
I see them as the global revolution there. I think it's a nice thing to use the global revolution banner and say, well, Egypt is getting ready to get back into the streets. Well, they'll have their Guy Fawkes masks on, and they will be saying, forget about it, good for them.
Well, the one thing that unites all these groups, whether they are Occupy New York, Occupy wherever, or the Oakland conglomeration, the thing that unites everyone is that they're opposed to the status quo, and they want change, and they want it for the benefit of the most people possible and for the benefit of the common global community. And I think that's a safe way to unify them all under one banner, even though they are disparate groups, you know.
Well, I agree. It's local sustainability, mm-hmm. but global community.
Right.
Global community. And we've got that going on. I mean, look how fast and easy it is for us. And you don't really use Facebook or Twitter, but you know mm-hmm. what's going on out there because you
hook
up via the planetary consciousness, which would be the Internet.
Oh, absolutely.
And
Link TV keeps me abreast of things, too. That's a great resource. And, you know, all kinds of Internet-related news media that are not mainstream news. You know, the mainstream news is only good for entertainment. That's about it. You know, they're limited for the scope of anything else. You get little tiny bits of knowledge, but it's not very well explored or very well described, and you have to really kind of hunt for it. But, you know, I refuse to take what they feed me. I'm gonna set my own diet.
Well, it's entertainment, but I tell you, the big story I've seen around the networks, and remember, I'm doing some guerrilla Twittering right now for my own little business online.
Oh, yeah.
But I am a small business, and I'm mm-hmm. not asking people to leave their families or do weird shit.
Right.
The marketing that went on and what they've done, I mean, Walmart and Target and so mm-hmm. many stores have been picketed and striking workers for this Black Friday, where did they had them coming in at like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
And 2 o'clock in the afternoon or even at noontime on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
And the employees that are paid not even a wage to make a good living by.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Dragging
well, that's the basis for their strike is that they're underpaid and overworked, and they're today's exploited peoples big time. And unfortunately, big conglomerates like Walmart get away with this every day of the week because they're so big. And because people thrive to them because of their low prices. Well, part of their low prices are built on low wages. And people got to remember that.
Slave wages like China and other countries.
Countries
where they press gang people mm-hmm. into working and feed them as much as they can to give them a miserable existence. That's why
they also use prison labor, you know?
Yes. Yes. Agreed. We could segue right into that one right now and say, you know, with the new emphasis on funding and building prisons, and the thing that we've got more prisoners than any other country in the planet.
You know, for the land of the free, that's always been the paradox of America. We don't hesitate to imprison our people. You know, per capita, we're loaded with prisons. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, it's just you can smell the brains frying in the 1% room right now on how to create slave labor out of the are there no poor houses? You know,
Jeez,
and what a time for this to be going on. I mean, the idea that they would take people who are making a barely passable and oftentimes not even passable income, mm-hmm. ripping them away from their families on what everybody else is supposed to enjoy outside of retail, is supposed to enjoy as a holiday season, and mm-hmm. put them to work like this with the threat of losing their job and whatever, you know, there's no real benefits from it other than that. Mm-hmm. And to have that going on and crushing on top of them at a time when it's that season of goodwill towards men, and it's a season of goodwill towards men, I would remind everybody, because when industrialization began 100-some-odd years ago, the 1% began to twist and grind the gears and bones of humanity before and take, take, take. This is why we have labor unions. This is why we have codes of ethics and everything else. It was born out of that struggle. But
right.
we came so perilously close to a real revolution that the idea was Christmas bonus, give them a turkey, give them a paid vacation.
Well, yeah, pacify
them. Yeah, keep them. Jesus.
You know, and now today with the decline of the labor unions, the latest trick is to get people to paid so low and keep their wages so low for so long that they fall behind and they're forced to take a second and sometimes a third job. And by the time they're all done, you know, at the end of the week, if there is an end of the week for them, they're so tired out they don't have time to think about revolution or to hit the streets the way they should be doing.
Well, you know, that point, yeah, well lit is that point. Well, we were talking about the prison system before. One of our guests in the chat room, the real story, number one, is saying that he's not sure the exact amount, but he thinks it's almost $50 billion that's used to incarcerate people for doing something I regularly do, which is smoke marijuana. And I've been warned. I've been warned that the police can hear this program and use this as a way to break into my home and get me.
They can use almost anything to do that nowadays. It's ridiculous. We've surrendered so many rights.
Hello, Jack?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm
lost me for a second.
Today. Yeah, I'm iPhoning it today. So
problem. Yeah.
Please, I ask the listening audience to be gentle with me. Instead of legalizing marijuana and turning it into a positive cash flow, they spend a ton of money to destroy people's lives. This is all coming from our chat room, and they're, you know,
especially in Texas.
You can call in. Oh, in Florida, too. I mean,
yeah,
do you know
terrible.
How many people are incarcerated in my state for, well, my state, geez.
I'm afraid
you
to even guess. I'm sure it's horrible.
You could do the hula and get in trouble on the pier, you know. Well, I will say this, though. We did enjoy some positive out of the last election, and Janelle is bringing it to our attention. Hear her roar, because it's legal in Colorado in a year.
Yeah, in Washington State, and I forget somewhere else they did it, too, and those are positive signs.
Well, I'm going to say something to you here, Jack. I mean, you know, I don't know about yourself, and I know you're a careful gentleman, and you live in a sort of a conservative part of the country. So you're not going to be whistling out that you blow a joint on the back porch every evening.
Oh, no, not every night, but I have many times in the past, and all through college, I constantly imbibed.
Here's the wonderful thing about this legalization of this plant.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the industry that it could bring, hemp itself, is incredible.
Oh,
yeah. It's vast, and it could...
Listen to that, free marketers.
Green. It could be big for green energy. The other part about this, and the part that I'm aware of as an herbalist, as a healer, as someone who works with plants and their essentials and vitalities every day of the week, the medicinal applications as healing agents for marijuana, especially for people who are going through the horrifying effects of nuclear medicine, which, Jesus, it's poison. It's poison. I'm not going to argue whether it's right or it's wrong, but I am going to say what is wrong is the effects. And people who have marijuana are making it through better because, and I'll tell you what, last night I was in a great deal of pain because I was moving boxes around, getting ready to move around here.
Mm-hmm.
I was moving boxes filled with books. Well, let's face it, I'm getting to be an old bog, so it took a little out of my back and my, you know, and I laid in bed and I got a great bed, but I was a little bit in pain.
Yeah.
And so I used my pipe and it helped and it put me to sleep. And
well, that's good. You know, that's
they
wonderful.
They need taking a Xanax or a Valium or some kind of chemical that puts the
right
pharmaceutical companies out there. You know,
right.
If we had apothecaries around this country like they have in California,
right,
and other places,
just go natural.
Yeah, and Janelle, she brought up a good one. Edibles, and New York City is filled with them. My friend Nicole, who does the show with me, and our good friend on Round 3-7, Trisha, and my pal Asa, and they all talk about the wonderful underground marketing of edible pot edibles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
well, I had some great brownies over the years, and they did the trick. So it can be baked, shaped. It can be done any number of which ways, and it all ends up the same. You know, it is medicinal. It is it's very helpful in terms of with regard to chemotherapy. I know that for a fact. My brother has confirmed that, and it's.
I would imagine that you'd have firsthand hearing on that one.
Sure.
Right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I saw there's a show I like on the television. It's called Parenthood. And one of the gals, one of the main characters is going through breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving her chemotherapy. And she didn't realize she thought she wasn't going to get that sick. But she did. It came on very fast. I've seen this. A lot of us have seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband didn't know what to do for it. Finally went to his little brother and grabbed some marijuana and brought it back, and it got her through.
Yes, exactly.
What I liked about this show, they showed what the reality is, how it really does actually essentially help people.
It really does. And for that reason, this idea that people should be thrown into jail for 10 and 20 year sentences and worse for merely possessing marijuana, there's something incredibly goofy about that. They've misunderstood that drug. They allow alcohol to be legal, and we saw the bad effects of prohibition of that earlier in the 20th century.
Right.
And so, there are some
and
things you just have to allow. There are some things you have to allow.
It's much more harmful to the body. It just defries.
It sure is, and so is tobacco.
The brain.
And so is tobacco.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not extinct yet, so. I realize there are a number of farmers in the Middle Atlantic states that depend on the tobacco crop, but boy, if only they could diversify into something that wasn't as health hazardous, that would be great. Now, here's one other thing about marijuana that you haven't brought up that I think is an important point, Gwen. Another reason that it should be legalized is that it could be not only you could set up a network of legal distributors. It could be regulated the way alcohol is regulated, the way firearms are regulated, the way all of that stuff is regulated, so that you have control over what happens to the crop and who makes it and who can distribute it and who can and buy it and all that stuff. And you can tax it, and that would relieve our tax burden a lot. It would also keep excess money from getting into the wrong hands, like the Mexican drug lords. They'd be their revenues would just cease to exist.
When the government begins to regulate things, we get companies like, shall I say, Monsanto.
Oh, right, exactly.
And Janelle Green brought it up. That's her worry, Monsanto.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or
that's a valid point.
People are talking monopoly companies in this. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be the
exactly.
Small.
I agree.
Again,
I agree.
The truth is, once it's legalized like that, you can choose to go to Monsanto at the mall and purchase from your little Monsanto cart.
I wouldn't buy anything from those guys.
Oh, not me neither.
No, they're poisonous. They're bad.
Or you could choose to go to, like many people do, you could choose to go to the cobbler who makes his shoes down the street in a little rented storefront or from the house.
That'd be the best way.
Yeah. Keep capitalism out of my weed is the chant in the chat room.
I couldn't agree more.
I'm actually one of those people who I think I'm uniquely set up to actually be someone who could dispense marijuana, grow it, and dispense it. Here's the other thing.
You could set up an entire network of people like you.
Yeah, well, they've got them in California. They're going to be blooming all over the place. They're probably already ready to go in Colorado.
In Colorado, yeah, it could be.
Washington, there's plenty of folks. Hawaii, it's filled with folks that come up with.
Ooh, I remember the good Hawaiian we used to get. Ooh,
that
was
like
really good.
Rainbow buds coming out of Hawaii.
We used to love it. About every February or so, here in the upper Midwest, we'd get our batch of Hawaiian, and it was Kona or whatever they called it. And that stuff, there was nothing like it in the world. It was so good. But we're talking many years ago. I'm sure it's, all over now. I'm not as involved as I used to be, but I'll tell you what, I finally remember those days.
I remember Maui Wowie.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the first time I ever saw purple weed. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen
it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's like, for myself, I mean, I distill and make oils, and I've made oils from marijuana. I use it to make also homeopathy, and I include it into, I'd like to see in parts per million pull that out and give me a hard time. Mm-hmm. For homeopathy, it's the vibrational effect, but I use that. Mm-hmm. I use a lot of psychotropics like ayahuasca, mm-hmm. belladonna, like any kind of homeopathy that you can find that, is parts per million. But I could actually make the cannabis oil legally, and that stuff apparently has got curative properties that are just out of this world.
Oh, that sounds good. That's great. You know, let's keep in mind, too, this trend against marijuana began with the passage of the Food and Drug Administration Act back in 1906, when that came into being, and that gave Congress and the government the right to regulate medicines and decide if they're legal or not. And it eradicated cocaine in Coca-Cola, which was probably a good thing, but it also did a lot of negative things. Now, let's keep in mind, prior to that time, and in the early days of our republic, guess who used to smoke pot on a regular basis and enjoyed it immensely? Why, none other than our third president, Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, most of our forefathers used hemp as a crop.
Right,
and
exactly.
Enjoyed tapping it down into their pipes. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You know, who knows? I knew they drank a lot of beer in those days, but they may have imbibed some marijuana when writing their Declaration of Independence. We don't know. We just don't know.
People are just going to give you crap about that one, aren't they?
I'm sure they will, but, we're speculating, of course, but we just don't know. The point is, though, it basically is harmless, except for, I guess if you smoked pot like it was going out of style, it might have negative effects on your lungs. But outside of that, the active ingredient produces a mild euphoria, which is mentally stimulating, and it's not bad at all.
For years they've said that in the anti-drug crusade, they have said or postured that marijuana is one of those gateway kind of
how ridiculous! Smoked pot like it was going out of style, and I never graduated to heroin. What a bunch of lies!
Well, when I got out of college and I came back down here and began working for the newspaper, I did the night beat. I was a graveyard shift, and even the cops were getting stoned. But anyway,
oh sure, yeah.
It I spent a couple of years partying hardy, as they say.
We all did.
I will say this. I woke up after a couple of years and realized, hey, I wanted to go someplace and figure something out and be somebody. And
yeah.
I walked away from that. Not everybody does. I do not think it's a chemical thing. I think it's a choice.
I know
people. To people who do choose, yeah, that's true. No one's died from pot, but they have died from alcohol. But
right.
as far as it being a gateway drug or anything like that, people choose to, you know,
right.
live in a stupor or not.
Yeah, and as far as it being psychologically addictive, that's another argument, psychologically addictive. I don't buy that either. I can and have walked away from marijuana many times, and not like I came rushing back, because it's been years now since I had a single joint. I mean, it's been years, and I haven't woke up trembling in the morning or, you know, going crazy over it. No, I mean, that's a myth. That is an absolute myth.
Jack, the thing is, man, you can't handle a whole joint. I used to, you remember the old days of the four-finger bag of Mexi laughing weed?
Oh, yeah.
You know, $15, and you were good to go for a week.
I remember that.
You'd go wake and bake, you know?
Right.
It's no longer like that when I you know.
No, it's very potent nowadays.
Yeah, I get like one or two buds that last me a month. You know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I understand.
I'm like, one
and you know what?
Money.
And that's a good thing. that's a good thing.
So I guess we here at Here Be Monsters are all for the legalization of marihuana.
Without question.
Across the planet.
Whether or not we are regular users, that is not the question. The question is, let's legalize it. Let's get rid of all this crazy nonsense. Did you ever see the movie? It was around in the early 70s, well, earlier than that, but it came around again on a nostalgic basis called Reefer Madness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a joke.
I think got stoned and watched that.
Well, I think in public school systems in the 40s and stuff, they used to show that, and people believed it, and they thought, oh, my God, I got to stay away from that stuff. It's utter madness. It's just insane. You know, it's so full of lies, misconceptions, and bad information. It isn't even funny. It's funny in that it's crazy. That's the way it should be regarded.
Well, they used to make as the same genre, that same era. They used to make all those horrible movies about lesbians and homosexuals.
Oh yeah.
Communists behind every bench.
Yes. Very good point. I just saw one the other day. It was a short that they ran on Turner Movie Classics. It must have been made in the, I think it was later, it was color, so it may have been made in the 50s, but it was all about the evils of bad literature and stuff. You could buy it in the mail, and, you know, this many thousands of merchants are selling this stuff, and it's going to ruin America, and communists are behind it, and all this nonsense, you know?
Well,
the Puritan aspect in this country is still alive, unfortunately, and it was alive back then. It's alive today.
I think a great deal of it has to do with controlling the marketplace. You know,
sure.
Marijuana isn't something that they're ever going to be able to legalize and have a cap on the marketplace for.
Mm-hmm.
Because that'll make it legal for me to go and, you know, cultivate it out. My God, I'm in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I once threw a handful of seeds. Now, get this. They were seeds not from a stash, you know, that I cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
They were seeds from the bottom of the bird cage. Now, if you have tropical birds or unusual birds, you buy bird seeds.
Right.
There's, you know, marijuana.
Some of it has hemp
seeds
in
them.
Yeah.
Threw a bunch of them out. I had little pot plants all over the backyard.
Isn't that something? Wow.
And people said, yeah, but they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't grow into anything. They'd get you stoned. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
Got me another one.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. in South Florida, it's apparently the soil we have, which is very sandy, is conducive to certain strains of marijuana.
Oh, sure.
And it just will, it will flourish if there's a rainy season. And mm-hmm. I was gone for, I don't know, a couple of weeks, came back, and these things were over a foot high. And mm-hmm. that's growing so you can hear it grow.
That is, right, yeah. Just let her flower and harvest, harvest, harvest. Dry it, harvest and dry. Yep. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who do it and cultivate it here, and then there's everything that comes in over the border mm-hmm. and over, you know, the beaches here. My mm-hmm. goodness, you can still read the local news. And every couple of months or so, you'll hear a story about bales coming up on shore, you know?
Oh, sure, sure.
It's going to get here one way or another. Apparently, the largest flow comes out of Mexico now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to the Mexican drug lords. They're raising hell right across the border. They're killing innocent people. People are getting caught in the crossfire. You know, if they legalized this product and they enabled people to grow it and harvest it here in the States, you know, it would eradicate a lot of the profitability and a lot of the money going directly into the Mexican cartel down there. And that would certainly help diffuse that region a little bit, you know.
Yeah. What was the chemical that they used to spray on Mexican pot crops to make them...
Oh, wasn't it DDT? Wasn't it DDT?
I thought it was. It started with a P. It started with a P. And the gentleman in the chat room is saying, and I don't know where he is, but uh-huh. he's apparently not in America. He can't get safe marijuana on the black market where he lives because it had some, what he bought, it had something really bad wrong with it. Made him very ill. Paraquat? Was that what it was called?
That brings a bell.
Yeah, paraquat or something like that.
That might be.
They sprayed it. And that was when Reagan was president, remember?
Yeah. Oh, he was something else, that guy. Yeah, that rings a bell now. That's about many years back, I'm trying to remember, but that sounds very familiar.
I thought that Real Story was out of the country, but he's just in a strange part of the country. He's in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Well, you know, they've been trying to eradicate drugs since the Nixon administration, and they have failed.
Yeah.
They have spent billions of dollars all across the world to eradicate drugs, and it's not going to happen. It's you know, they can't stamp out prostitution either. So, you know, you don't have to have a drug house or a prostitution house on every block. But, you know, you've got to have some common sense about dealing with these things. They're always going to be around, and you might as well channel them in a useful direction.
Wow. Well, you're quite right, Jack. One of the things that is particularly awful about having such a beneficial plant for humanity,
mm-hmm.
Blacklisted and made illegal this way, and putting, not only does it put people into prisons by the boatload, the other part about this is if we go back to the medicinal applications of marijuana,
mm-hmm.
What happens is that when marijuana is made available on a medicinal level, I have the idea that, and I think that dynamically I'd be borne out with this one too,
mm-hmm.
that the pharmaceutical companies would lose business, the doctors who are so easy to get people into surgery one after another. You know, all of this, you go in to see a doctor and it's from specialist to specialist. Nobody
mm-hmm.
coordinates with one another. It's a horrible
right.
mess, our health
system. Oh, it's a racket. It's really
a
racket.
This. I think that that legalizing and making medicinal marijuana available to the general public is going mm-hmm. to bring natural caregivers, and I mean by natural caregivers, I mean, you know, midwives, nurses,
homeopathic stuff, yeah.
Homeopathic doctors,
mm-hmm.
you know, people behind the bench like myself. It's not that it's going to bring us more business. It's that it's going to allow us to enable people to
exactly.
get out of that maze of medical horror stories.
Well, they've turned it into a something that's regulated in their favor. And it's exclusive of many other possible successful drugs and treatments, but in the process, it's just created its own artificial maze, and it's just a mess, really a mess.
Well, yeah, it is, and one of the things that would knock the top or the cap off of this need. For people to run to a doctor, and I'm not talking about poor folks, because poor folks, they don't run to doctors anyways. We know that.
Right, exactly.
I'm one of the poor folks. I do
right.
not run to a doctor. You know what? For all of the little ailments and things that I've, you know, fat through,
mm-hmm.
struggled through, or cured myself.
Right.
Majority of my friends who have, you know, insurance coverage and whatnot
mm-hmm.
would have been to the doctor several times and spent large portions of their money
sure.
Being
and
told to do this and probably stuck onto prescription drugs that they really
sure.
don't need in the long run.
Yeah.
Menopause alone, man. I mean,
oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's just, and I know men have different, you know, it's not just women going through.
Ours isn't as severe, thank goodness, but, you know, that's very true.
There's a shifting of the body that occurs to all humanity. And,
yeah, exactly.
The medical industry, the allopathic medical industry,
mm-hmm.
has made a fortune off of this. And it's
oh, look at all the late-night ads now. They're not even late-night anymore.
Oh
they're all over TV.
Oh,
that. Get intense. You got an old football coach on there talking about, do you want to have more fun in the bedroom? Get male enhancement products like Intense.
Oh, my
Give
God.
Me a
there's
break.
Like, there's like a male erection product on every, I don't know, 20 minutes.
It's ridiculous.
Especially after 10 o'clock.
But, you know, even prior to 10 o'clock, you see it. And, you know, that's excessive.
Oh, excessive! You know, I've had friends tell me, "Hey, don't say it's bullshit."
And some of
it
is bullshit. It just doesn't work right.
It's not bullshit that you know my the tired leg or active leg. What is it? The leg syndrome. I mean,
restless leg syndrome. Yeah.
Restless leg syndrome. I mean, I get that. That happens. You know what that is? It's A, a lack of exercise. B, a lack of oxygen and water to the body. And it's just bad living habits, and I
yeah, and you don't have to
it.
Spend $19.95 and get a 60-day supply over TV for it.
Well, and not only that, but restless third leg syndrome. We have a Krell in the house. It's not just that. I mean, you know, people are enabled by the pharmaceutical industry through the doctors as their echo horns to feel feeble, to go through life hobbling along.
Right. Right.
Well, I have this wrong with me. What does it say about your self-esteem, your ability to achieve your goals, to meet your challenges, to stand up in the streets and say F you to the government when they're wrong? When you're medicated out of it and you're locked in to making a buck and the illusion of money, man, that's when the pharmaceutical industry piggybacking the government, piggybacking the 1%, you know, I always used to say, where's the due diligence on this conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
And now I spout them. Now I am a spout.
Yeah. Well, you know, pharmaceutical misuse is at an all-time high. I mean, they're doctors that are pill pushers. They're constantly pushing you onto one thing after another after another after another. I don't know how they keep them all straight. You know, it's insane. And you look at the pharmaceutical ads on television.
Oh,
you
yeah.
never
yeah.
used to have ads for pharmaceutical drugs. All of a sudden, some undoubtedly Republican yahoos in Congress pushed to make it legal. So now you're getting all these drug ads, and you're constant. Tell your doctor to, if you have this and that, tell your doctor to have you try blah, 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 blah. You never used to see ads like that. And then all of a sudden, I remember a few years back, all the Vitorin ads they used to have.
Oh, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
now all of a sudden, there's a big lawsuit in the last couple of years about how Vitorin, I don't know if it was harmful, but it wasn't really doing everything that was cracked up to do.
That's a terrible thing. You will see a commercial that tells you you need this drug. And then
right.
on the back end of that commercial, because of just what you're talking about,
right.
on the back end of that commercial, you'll hear about all the side effects. Which
I know.
Death, anti-rosing midgets. You know, I mean, they have so much that they have to say now legally, because in court, when it comes back on them, they
oh,
can
yeah.
say, when we advertised this drug, whether the doctor
right.
told you or not, it was nationally advertised.
Exactly.
And made aware that.
Yeah, and then they'll sue the pharmaceutical company and make all kinds of billions of dollars for people that way. No, it's turned into a big racket. Any way you look at it, it's a racket. It's insane. But, you know, in the old days, they used to advertise in medical journals to doctors directly, and you didn't have to push for it from the ground up. That is so ridiculous. I just wish they'd return to that. It, you know, we have too damn many commercials on TV anyway. You can't watch regular TV without getting bombarded literally every hour with every type of commercial you could ever imagine for all kinds of stuff. You got questionable commercials about male enhancement products and all this bullshit. You've got that in all hours of the day and night. I mean, you know, give me a break. You know, I mean.
Well, that's a big seller. And as David is pointing out, these representatives or salesmen from the pharmaceutical industry, we know. They
oh, yeah.
make their rounds to the doctor's office, and they
sure they do
just both
free samples, all this
out.
Stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because it costs them, once they've developed a drug, it costs them nothing to manufacture these things
right.
at all. And
well, all their money goes into research, and you know, research and lawsuits.
Yeah, no, and I think research and chemistry is important.
It sure
Don't
is.
Don't get me wrong. I think, though, that the research and the chemistry is skewed. It's skewed to a place where folks are basically, they're talking about just making drugs that enable people to, it also does is fight symptoms. It,
mm-hmm.
it attacks symptoms, not cause. There's no relief
right.
of disease.
Right.
The cancer is often exploited by some of these drugs.
Yes.
It's just like having exploratory surgery. Everybody
mm-hmm.
knows you go in and have exploratory surgery with cancer that's, you know, that they know is malignant. If you expose it to oxygen, you know, it's stupid.
Yeah,
it's
right.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
So this is about prolonging an industry that squeezes.
It's about the industry's health, not your health.
Right.
It's insane. It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, add that to the list of growing number of things that are truly insane in this country and throughout the world.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
Well, speaking of insanity, there was a New York Times article posted today about the election spurring a move to codify the U.S. drone policy. Apparently,
mm-hmm.
the White House's executive advisors have been debating on how to create some kind of policy on drone use. And the CIA and Defense Department are the ones who want it exploited and used, overly used. The articles in the world section of the New York Times.
Well, plus China has now developed its own form of drone that it's introducing into its navy, I think it is. Its military is using it, and they haven't used it yet, but they're going to have it available. And I think they did a demonstration of it somewhere in Chinese territory recently. And, you know, those are dangerous devices. There's no way around it. They kill innocent people. They create a lot of deaths that don't need to happen. And, yes, they're surgically great and can nail guys in a streetcar in the middle of the street. Yeah, that's fine and dandy, but what about all the people around it that suffer, that die or suffer as a result of the use of that drone? That's the problem, and that's why I don't like the proliferation of drones.
Well, war is wrong. War is that's just my whole thing on it is war is wrong. We have to abandon it. There's no evolution without it. War is the reason that we industrialize, that we are gouging the earth and depleting resources. It's all about war. War is nothing but about that.
Well, war is quick profits for the perpetrators. It's quick profits for the industry. And as a result, that's why it's become a huge industry in this country and abroad.
Well, and we have some commentary by David over in the chat room. He says Obama was worried about having the ability of free drone assassinations for the next election term.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's been reelected, he has let up on those guidelines. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, it comes down to one's self-interest, doesn't it, a lot of times? But,
someone new to the chat that I can tell, his name is Walton Forshire, I believe, said perhaps collateral damage is a desirable effect of drone strikes. And I think what he's saying there is not that he thinks so, but that perhaps that's just the point.
The people that use them use it for that reason. That could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Could very well be.
And if,
you know, how depraved are we going to allow ourselves to become? You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, we're out here searching. We've lost our humanity. I think that's search, you know.
Oh,
and I'm one of the booger booger crowd. I'm looking at this winter solstice date and going, you know, keep it up. You know, what was it Mad Mike used to say? There's no magic that's going to change this. Only Obama can. I can remember him when he was supporting the president so victoriously, let's put it that way.
Right.
You know, would say, you know, it ain't no wizard's going to change this. But, you know, I got to tell you, I think that's exactly what changes things.
Mm-hmm.
Is people making magic by saying, enough, we've had it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, you were talking at the beginning of the show about the judges in Egypt. Look at the positive things that happened in the last election. I think that needs to be addressed, too.
You mean the election in Egypt?
The things that happened here. Right now we're on this calamitous roller coaster ride. The whole planet is right now. I mean, there's war everywhere. There's poverty. It's like a domino effect across the world right now. National monetary systems are falling down. People are, you know,
austerity measures.
Right, and it's all for want of profits. More profits keep the profits coming, which is really strange because it's not going to fly for a long time. There has to be a reboot.
Right.
There has to be a slowdown, a change, just for survival's sake.
Sure, exactly.
And how that comes about could be, it could be horrendous, or it could be. I don't have any idea anymore.
Well, we've already had lessons in history about how disastrous it is for a very small, narrow group of people to control a vast majority of the wealth. We've seen it happen in serfdoms way back when, in abuse of power made possible through manipulation of the religious community in the early medieval period. I mean, you know, anywhere you look, when economic power is concentrated into too small an area, and too few people are able to, you can't be egalitarian with it that way. So it's got to be the opposite of that. That's a disastrous time, and there are abuses that result that are unavoidable. They always happen. So everything we can do in the meantime to make sure that there's economic democracy as well as political democracy is a good thing, and that's what we ought to be concentrating on.
Well, I hear your point, and it's a good one.
Yeah.
Things are changing, and I do think there is a global revolution going on, and I think the thing that makes it a global revolution is the fact that all of us are connected by this alternative media and the social networks that are connecting
right.
us up, and even though folks like to think that Facebook is skewed and only allows so much to go on. It's mm-hmm. also been the author of, like, it was Facebook that got everybody together in the streets of Tahrir Square over
yes.
there
mm-hmm.
in Egypt to begin with.
Right.
And Twitter fought for months to try and keep the government from getting into their private records, but they relented when they realized they were going to lose the battle in court, and so they let people look at
mm-hmm.
Twitter, you know, from folks who were using Twitter to get back at the government.
Right.
These things, there's pullbacks and everything. It's like people who think that you can remain private and be a part of the social networking system are deluded.
No. That's,
I realize that, you know, there's nothing private. Unless I were to fall completely off the grid right now, and even
yeah,
then,
right.
I put so much out there of myself that. And
well,
and watch
even
it,
if even if you did
I
do
be
that,
a part of the global community.
You can't achieve total privacy unless you're on an abandoned, completely all by yourself on some kind of desert island. And that's the only way you could remain for the rest of your life. There's no way to isolate yourself from the rest of the world. In the old days, that was true, but not today. It can't be done. It won't be done. One way or another, you're interacting with somebody else, either through commerce, industry, consumption, any number of levels you are, and there's no way around it.
It's quite true.
Everywhere you go, you leave a trail. Everywhere you go, no matter how careful you are, you leave a trail somewhere.
Well, and if you know, you'd have to be some kind of a operative.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to have help on an industrial level, not
right.
to,
you sure would.
I mean, that's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But. They're having quite a lively conversation in the chat room about the rights and the wrongs of bombing and drones and the killing
yeah.
by governments.
Which
is very cool because we need these conversations. That's why we're here.
We sure do. And in light of what we've been doing overseas, as well as what's been happening between the Israelis and the Palestinians. It's very relevant to what's going on in the world today.
It's quite true. I've been very upset about what's happening to the people who are virtually living imprisoned in Gaza.
Right.
Compared to, I know they're sending warheads or rockets over to Israel.
Yeah.
It's funny. I mean funny in weird funny.
No, not funny, but yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. it's queer, if you will, that people in Israel, from Tel Aviv to the rest of the surrounding larger cities and outlands that have gotten hit with rockets from Gaza, there's been casualties, but there's been like 1% to 100% of casualties that have come from the jet strifing of Gaza by Israel and their hurtling of it. It's just, it's completely outrageous that the world supports this and that America supports it and doesn't say a thing, just says that they have every right to protect themselves, and this is wrong because the reason...
Well, this isn't, like we discussed last week, this isn't a case of them being able to protect themselves. They can do that many times over. This isn't the case at all. That's a misnomer. Their protection is not at stake at all. This is insane to even argue in that fashion.
No, it isn't. It isn't at stake. And there is a huge amount of Israeli population, and I'm not sure how big it is, but I do know they want a solution to this. They are uncomfortable with what is happening to Palestinians. They are uncomfortable with living in hate the way they are.
Yeah,
they
should be.
They've had enough of it.
Yeah, who needs it? Who needs any more of that?
You're born in Israel, you're born in hate.
Yeah,
you're born in hate.
A shame.
You're immediately tagged for military service. If you want to remain in Israel, you have to serve in their military. In other words, to pay for the privilege of being an Israeli, you have to be willing to murder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they call it military, but it's murder. I don't give a damn
anymore. I agree.
It ain't the same thing with our boys and girls and whoever. If you're out there killing, it's wrong. It's just we're way too, and this, of course, is the personal opinion of Gwen. There is no more reason for war. We have too much that is able to solve our problems. We have technologies. We have too much abundance to solve the problems of the world than to resort to warfare. And nationalism just causes more.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And it's time to end the madness. There's no doubt about that. It's long overdue that we end this madness. There's such an obsession with military things nowadays, and it's stoked on by the military channel and all this other stuff. You know, you got people talking gleefully about what to do to be a good sniper, and, you know, who cares? I mean...
Yeah, who the fuck really cares?
It's murder. It's murder is what it is. And these guys are taking joy in it, you know?
We have enough entertainment to let our aggressions out that way. Hell, I watched The Expendables yesterday. I loved it. I love them old boys having a good time. It's mythology.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story. I get my aggressions out that way. I know the difference. I choose different, but I like the story.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
And I will always love those stories. That's just who I am. We're at the end of the show.
Oh, my God, time flies. It has been another great week, Gwen. Thank you very much. And anything on tap for next week that you can let people know about?
Not yet.
Well, we'll get together and get something together, I'm sure.
We will.
Give us 7 days and we'll come up with something.
It's that strange time of the year when you just don't know and folks are hurried and everything. So thank you, everybody, for listening in this evening. David, Janelle, Walton, The Real Story, all you folks in the chat room, everyone is listening. This has been Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show with Jack Jodell from Saturday Afternoon Post. And myself, I'm Gwen Berry, and I write for Roundtree. That's the number 7.com. Check us both out. Mm-hmm. And by the way, so does Jack. He posts over.
I post there now and then. That's right. Yeah, you bet. And I'll be back there again soon. So anyway, thank you again, everybody, for your listening, for your ear, and for your thoughts. And keep thinking and keep listening and and keep making this a more positive world.
Yeah. Find something to be grateful for this week.
That's
the way
right.
To walk.
Good point.
Okay.
All right.
That's the end of our show. Thank you, folks.
Good. Talk to you next week, everybody. Have a great week, everybody.
Good night, Jack.
Good night.